Light the candle, tiger!
Hello and a very warm welcome to this week's Racing Post Golf Postcast. I'm Dave Clark from the Racing Post. We'll of course be looking back on last week's action and looking forward to this week's action, both sides of the Atlantic. Well, who joins us this week? Of course, it's the Racing Post golf guru, Steve Palmer. Steve, how are you?
Yeah, not bad, thanks, Dave. Pretty horrific week last week, but we live and move on.
Yeah, me and you both. And also from our friends at Star Sports, it's Glenn Day. Glenn, I hope your form's a little bit better than mine and Steve's by the sounds of it.
Well, not much, I must admit. Looking forward to a good weekend after the Friday of last week. But Keimer leading by two in Germany, three in the running in America, but all went pear-shaped on the Saturday. So, yeah, hoping for better this week.
Okay, right. Well, let's talk last week's action then, shall we? Let's kick off with the Travellers, Steve. Well, it was almost all over before the final round anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah, Ches Reavie led him a merry dance. I mean, he dropped a huge hint in the US Open, finished third in the US Open, playing alongside Brooks Koepka. Seemed to be inspired by playing alongside Brooks Koepka. Yeah, and took a new attitude to the Travellers. He said he was trying to be more relaxed take a leaf out of Brooks Koepka's book. And 66 to 1 shots don't normally win as easily as that. But it was a Ches Reavie type of course, you know, short and fiddly. And he was backable. He was definitely backable. But we missed one there.
Yeah, Steve said, Glenn, 66 to 1 chance. Was that a good result for you guys?
Yeah, good result. Not an overly busy event in all honesty, but usually 66 to 1 chance is pretty good, and yeah, he didn't disappoint us here, so yeah, small gains on the week.
When I'm guessing you was working on the Sunday, Glenn, is it a bit of a snore fest? Because I mean, he just would have been sort of non-existent in running market,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Exactly, yeah, there was a lot going on. I mean, obviously Keegan Bradley threatened late on with a bit of a birdie charge, but then it all went pear-shaped for him on 17, didn't it? So yeah, it didn't see a lot of action in play. Yeah, pretty much a waste of time, really.
Waste of time. Barring the winner, Steve, did we take much out of the Travellers last week?
Yeah, I thought it was a couple of interesting rounds on Sunday. I thought Joachim Niemann and Brian Harman were two big eye-catchers on Sunday. I mean, Niemann finally found some putting form. Niemann's been brilliant from tee to green all season, but he's had real problems with the putter. But he was good on Sunday, closed with a 66, finished fifth. So exciting times for Joachim Niemann. And Harman, he's been struggling with his irons, but his iron play on Sunday was excellent. He closed with three consecutive rounds of 66 in the Travellers, finished eighth. So, I think Niemann and Harman, they both got decent chances in the Rocket Mortgage Classic this week. But I think both of them are players to keep an eye on for the future.
And Glenn, did anyone catch your eye?
Yeah, Niemann, as Steve's pointed out, they only burst onto the scene last year with a few really good finishes early on. Fell away, but obviously the signs were there Sunday that perhaps he's settling into life on the PGA Tour and he could be ready to kick on again.
Okay, right, the 66 to 1 winner there. It was a 100 to 1 winner in the BMW International Open, wasn't it, Steve?
Yeah, Andrea Pavan, it was an exciting event. Matt Fitzpatrick, he's very slow out the blocks again. I think it's fascinating how Fitzpatrick's, he's made a habit of making these slow starts and then finishing like a train. He opened with a 73 in Germany and then got into a playoff with, he was fantastic for the final three rounds. Yeah, so there may be a case going forward of it's happened so many times now that you back Fitzpatrick after round one. You may be a sensible policy going forward.
But I mean, I was on. We shouldn't have even been in the playoffs, Steve, should we? What happened on 17?
No, that's right. It did look over the closing holes and then made a mess of 17. And then he got quite fortunate as well in the first hole of the playoff, didn't he?
He should have been in the drink. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So I feel for you, Dave. I feel for Fitzpatrick backers there because it did look like you were going to collect, but keep the faith this week. He's got a decent chance this week. He's got a nice course set up for him this week. So feel for you, Dave. But this is golf. I was the same last week. Yeah, I had different sort of feelings. I didn't get close. I was way off the pace. Patrick Cantlay fell asleep in round two. Left himself too much to do over the weekend. Yeah, the golf betting is a difficult game. You know, you've got to be a tough cookie to survive this game. You got to try and keep your pecker up, Dave.
quick word on the winner there, Steve, as well. I mean, I was quite impressed, as disappointed as I was with Fitzpatrick. The approach play to win it from Pavan was sensational.
Yeah. It's a good example of players sort of throttling back and getting success, because he said he'd been struggling with his driver a lot lately. So he tried to resist using driver as much as possible, as a very strong three wood, also carries a two iron. So, throttled back a bit and got the results. Yeah, Pavan's a good player. I think he'll win again. That was his second victory. I think he'll win again soon enough.
Okay, and Glenn, 100 to 1, was that a skinner for Star Sports?
Yeah, absolute skinner, yeah. I mean, he's a player I was impressed with when he won last year. I think he played in the final round with Padraig Harrington in one of the lesser events, but he looked really good on the final day, having never won before. You know, players can easily, bottle it on the last day, but he showed he had all the attributes necessary to win, which he did, and obviously he's backed it up again. The thing that got me last week again was Martin Keimer. Two shots clear at the halfway stage. I've watched him play on Saturday. He did not have a clue. He was like a rabbit in the headlights. It looks like he's forgotten how to win. So from being my number one tip last week, he's totally off the radar now for me. So yeah, but a good result for the firm, obviously, yeah.
And I'm sure the in-running book, especially in that final round, was a lot more livelier than the Travellers.
It was all over the place, yeah.
Right, okay then. Anything else to take from that tournament for you, Glenn, barring sort of what we covered already?
Well, no, one I put up Bernd Wiesberg. I keep saying each week, yeah. I think he could be ready to win again. He sort of won out of the blue a few weeks back, but having not been in contention, a final round 7-under, gives him a good finish again. A lot of his game is in working order. We know he can go low. We know he hits it a long way. I think a second win of the year is not too far away.
Okay, brilliant. Right, well, let's wrap up last week. Let's move on to this week, Steve. And we're in Detroit for the US Tour.
Yeah. We're back in Michigan for the first time since 2009. So, I'm expecting a really good atmosphere at Detroit Golf Club this week. They've already sold out the weekend's play. They're really, really enthusiastic galleries, I'm expecting this week. Uncharted terrain on the US Tour. Detroit Golf Club, Parkland layout, tree line, 7,334 yards, par 72. It's a Donald Ross design. So, obviously, as punters, we're clutching for clues. They've never played there before, but Donald Ross is a big feature of the US Tour. There's loads of his courses host US Tour events. Most of his courses have small, raised, undulating greens, so tiny targets on approach. You've got to hit the right sections of the greens. And as I say, the course is used East Lake, home of the Tour Championship, probably his most famous creation. They designed Pinehurst, Oakland Hills, Oak Hill, Plainfield, Sedgefield, Aronimink. But for this particular course, I think accuracy is the key, particularly on the second shot. As I say, the targets are tiny, and then obviously sound scrambling will be another stat to look out, because you're going to miss greens.
And Steve, I know that you leave no stone unturned whatsoever. So we've got no course form whatsoever. Nobody's ever played here before.
No. But you've got a couple of locals, Joey Garber and Stewart, I think it was the other one. There's a couple of Michigan boys who might know it better than others, but they're not players that you particularly give a chance to. So, no, everyone's coming in blind, playing their practice rounds. But as I say, it's got similarities to most of the other Donald Ross courses in terms of the greens. The greens are very tiny, but the rough is down, but it is tree lined. I mean, it's a tricky jigsaw puzzle to put together this week. I think I've cracked it.
Okay, well, let's hope so. Anyway, Glenn, I know you like to grade each tournament, which I think is brilliant. What sort of grade are we giving this one?
It comes in at a 7, so probably the weaker one we've had for a few weeks. Obviously, Dustin Johnson in there, world number 2. Probably not a great deal of depth to it, in honesty. So probably about as weak as it gets for a PGA Tour event.
Okay, right. Well, give us a show from Star Sports then, maybe the first sort of 15-20 in the betting.
Yeah, certainly. 6-1 favourite DJ, 12-1 Ricky Fowler, 14 Matsuyama, 16-1 Gary Woodland, 25 Ches Reavy, 33-1 Billy Horschel, Brent Snedeker, Patrick Reed, and Ryan Moore, and 40-1 Bubba Watson, Kevin Kisner, Kevin Streelman, and Sungjae Im.
Okay, each way terms?
Fifth, first, sixth again this week.
Brilliant. Okay, Steve, take it away with the main pick this week.
Main pick is Hideki Matsuyama. As mentioned, I think the key stat is strokes gained on approach, small targets on approach, no margin for error. Matsuyama was number one in the field in that statistic until Taylor Gooch came into the field late as an alternate. Matsuyama is fourth on the US Tour strokes gained on approach stat. He's always been a magnificent iron player, and the rest of his game marries up well with Detroit Golf Club as well. He's actually scrambling really well. When he's missing greens, he's given himself a chance to make par. He lies 20th in the scrambling stats. Quite a surprising stat for Matsuyama. Putting is still the issue, always has been. But yeah, very small greens this week, takes pressure off him in that respect. A lot of these holes in Detroit are dead straight. I did the course tour and couldn't believe how many of these holes are, you know, straight corridors of trees. And yeah, Matsuyama's driving is...
You did the course tour.
Yeah. There's certain websites where you can find, you know, sort of virtual tour of every hole. So you click on the hole and it takes you along the hole.
Right.
I did that for this one, and I was surprised by how many were dead straight. And Matsuyama's driving technique, he has got that drive in him, that, you know, that sort of frozen rope, dead straight drive. That's in his armory. He's been hugely consistent this year, although winless. I see him hitting most of the fairways, most of the greens, scrambling well if he misses any. And if he putts above average, then I think he goes close to the trophy. He's got a good record over the Michigan border. We haven't played in Michigan since 2009, but we have tournaments in Ohio across the border. That's the closest one. Is Matsuyama's maiden US Tour title came in Ohio. His last US Tour title came in Ohio. I think he'll relish the atmosphere. You know, I think there'll be a big noisy crowd this week. He's won the Phoenix Open twice before, so he's proven that he relishes these the big boisterous galleries. So yeah, I think Matsuyama was very difficult to get away from this week. We just need a good week with that putter. Come on, Hideki, roll the bloody rock.
He's not won for a while, Steve, but that has been mainly down to the putter, hasn't it?
Yeah, 2017 Bridgestone was his last win. He was imperious in that. And it can be frustrating back in Matsuyama. But when you go to a new course, greens in regulation is what you're after. And nobody knows this course. Nobody knows the target lines. Nobody knows the places to miss. You know, my first instinct when you go to a new territory is always greens and regulation machines, because, then they haven't got to worry so much about the lack of knowledge, because every course comes easy to them.
Okay, Steve Palmer on the course tour. I pictured you turning up there, Steve, and saying, I'm here for the tour. Just take me through, but not to be. What is that website then? Is there a website with all of them on, or do you have to go to the course website?
I think it's called 360 something or another. If you type in 360 Golf Tour, you'll get there. I can't remember the exact name of it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I should have gone over there, shouldn't I?
Well, yeah.
I tell the chief executive, I put it on expenses every week.
Sure, I'll go wash, yeah. Not sure that'll wash. Right, he's a full team chance with Star Sports, as Glenn's already mentioned. Who is your main pick this week then, Glenn?
I'm not very confident, I must admit. I'm going to put three up this week. Obviously, we know course form to go on. There's still an element of guesswork in there. So my first pick this week is going to be Billy Horschel. Fairways and green sort of guy. So never do you any harm. Being on the fairway, hitting into the small greens will be an asset. Five-time tour winner, knows how to get the job done. First time in 2013 at the Zurich Classic, which he coincidentally won again in the pairs format with Scott Piercy. But really announced himself on the big stage when he won back-to-back playoff events, including the Tour Championship at the aforementioned East Lake, Donald Ross Design Golf Course. Obviously, he can play well on those greens. Only two top 10 finishes so far this year, but his last five starts give an indication of a return to form. Figures of 13th, 23rd, 19th, 9th and 32nd in the US Open. Long enough off the tee when needed, if needed. He averaged 304 yards a pop in the Charles Schwab Challenge. That week, he was also second in driving accuracy, ninth in greens in regulation, and third in scrambling. Following week at Memorial, he ranked fourth in greens in regulation. His putter was cold in those events, but he's ranked three times in the top 10 in putts for green in regulation this season, including third on the tricky Augusta greens. So greens in regulation and a good week with the flat stick could equal a return to form for Billy Horschel.
Okay, right. Well, we'll move back to Steve, because I think Horschel's one that you're quite keen on as well, Steve.
Yeah, very much so. Horschel's my next best. Great record on Donald Ross Designs. It wasn't just that win in 2014. He finished second in the Tour Championship last year, and he finished third in the 2018 BMW Championship at Ronnemink, which is another Donald Ross design. So, yeah, Matsuyama and Horschel, very similar players, both greens and regulation machines, both bubbled nicely into form for this. So, yeah, they're the two best bets, Matsuyama and Horschel.
Right, okay, I'll throw back to you then, Glenn, for your second pick.
Second pick, another greens, fairways and greens guy, Kevin Kisner. Mm-hmm. Obviously, doesn't hit it too far off the tee, but more than makes up for that in driving accuracy. 6 of 20 events this year, ranked in the top 10 in that category. Earlier in his career, he lost in three playoffs in 2015, and made his breakthrough later that year when winning the RSM Classic by 6 shots from Kevin Chappell. Key stats that week: greens in regulation, scrambling, and number one in putts per green in regulation. A run of 6.20-something finishes this year was broken when he overcame some of the world's best players, including Matt Kuchar in the final, to win the WGC World Match Play on a course that definitely wouldn't particularly suit his style of play. Key attributes again that week: first in scrambling and fourth in putts per green in regulation. A couple of miscuts followed that. But recent outings, including the tied 15th, I mean, put down where it was, a vineyard that returned to form, fairways and greens again for Kevin Kisner this week to see him contend.
Brilliant putter is Kisner, I like him. Right, we'll get your third pick as well, Glenn, because then we'll get the rest of Steve's team.
Okay, this one's definitely going to be left field. You won't see him on many people's shorts. I thought Jason Duffner.
Right.
We all know about his putting woes, but if I can try and lay you to that. Two-time web.com tour winner, is 11 years between the first of those wins and his breakthrough win on the main tour, which, like Horschel, was in the Zurich Classic in 2012. A second win followed inside a month, and following that he won his major when he beat Jim Furyk by 2 shots at the Donald Ross Design Oak Hill Country Club. It was there that I first remember him struggling on the greens. At the time, put it down to nerves in trying to win that first major, but obviously a lot more has come out since. Against that, he is a fantastic iron player. He hit his fairways, he will find the greens. As long as he gives himself putts outside of 6 feet and holds his share, I think he can put in a good finish this week. As long as he don't leave himself those knee tremblers from 2 and 3 feet. A little bit left field. He's not a massive price, but a very good iron player. And Jason Duffner could just reward the each way backers.
Yeah, very much an accurate player. What price is he with Star?
We got him at 45-1.
Oh, so you're ducking him. You're ducking him. You want to keep him on side. Yeah. Right then, Steve, who is in the rest of the team?
We've got three more. Ryan Moore's the third selection. Donald Ross Designs typically demand accurate approach play. Which is probably why Ryan Moore's got such a good record on them. Moore is a quality iron player. He won his maiden US Tour title on a Ross Design in the 2009 Wyndham Championship at Sedgefield. He was runner-up in the 2010 AT&T National on a Ross Design. And his 3 visits to East Lake for the Tour Championship have yielded form figures of 9, 3 and 2. He lost to Rory McIlroy in a famous playoff there on his last visit to East Lake. He's shown glimpses of his best in recent weeks. He was third in the Texas Open. He was first-round leader in the Memorial. And last week he was 15th in the Travelers, where he topped the driving accuracy stats, and he hit every single fairway in round 4. So Ryan Moore should go well. Aaron Wise, I can't resist Aaron Wise again, the 2018 US Tour Rookie of the Year. He started to putt well again. You know, he's played well in all the majors this season. He was contending at the halfway stage of the US Open. Fantastic performance, dropped away, finished 35th. But I think Aaron Wise, I think this is a class act who's getting his act together for a big summer. And the final one is Kevin Streelman. Streelman's long game form in recent weeks has been truly sensational. He's absolutely pounding fairways and greens. So I expect him to make serene passage to the greens at Detroit Golf Club. He was born in nearby Illinois. He's got some form on Ross Designs. Just need a half-decent week. A lot of my selections this week, we're just desperate for a half-decent week with the putter. Matsuyama, Horschel, Streelman's the same. His long game form is fantastic at the moment. And if he can just roll a few putts in, I think Streelman can contend.
Got a lot of nice, neat and tidy players in there, Steve. Right, let me quiz you about one or two at the top of the betting then. I quite like Ricky Fowler for this because I've got it in my head that he's brilliant at scrambling. The stats don't necessarily suggest that. What are your thoughts on him?
I just thought the US Open was a quite serious confidence denter for Fowler. I mean, he was right up there again early doors. He was one shot behind after round one, you know, very chirpy in his interviews. You know, is this going to be the first major? And then he just dropped away tamely, finished in 43rd position. I just wonder whether that major frustration is going to start overwhelming Fowler. If I was him, I'd be starting to feel really frustrated with, not with life, but with not winning majors.
Okay, and we'll go from major frustration to major ecstasy. Mr. Woodland, he's was he fifth in the betting?
Yeah. I mean, nobody knows how he's going to react to becoming a major champion. He's not had much time off. He's had lots of media commitments. He's probably not picked up the club very often. I think he might struggle for full focus this week. And he wasn't for me.
Okay, that's fair enough. Glenn, thoughts on those at the head of the betting from your selections and what yourself and Steve have been saying? You must fancy you could get a bit of result again here this week.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in all honesty, both events, no calls for to go in here. Wouldn't amaze me if there was a big price winner, maybe a tour made and winning. I'm not overly keen on any of the front runners for various reasons. So. That's right, hence looking at the middle to left part of the market. Yeah, definitely see an upset this week.
Okay, well, maybe we'll see some Star Sports price pushes nearer to the off then, Glenn. Puff your chest out and try and take them on. Right, let's move to the European Tour then, gentlemen, and the spectacle that is Valderrama, Steve, this week.
Yeah, it's always exciting to get back to Valderrama. Yeah, it's an iconic venue. It's a traditional venue for the European Tour's curtain closer. I know you're a young man, Dave, might be before your time. The last of those was in 2008 Volvo Masters. Then we had the Andalusia Masters came here in 2010 and 2011. And then we've had 2017 and 2018. And then in between that, we had the Spanish Open in 2016. So there's all sorts of Valderrama course form dotted all around for punters to get hold of. The Andalusia Masters used to be an October event, but tournament host Sergio Garcia had a bit of a fit of pique after last year's event. You know, it was a weather-ravaged three-round event, Monday finish, all a bit of a disaster. So he demanded a new summer slot. He demanded increased prize money in a new summer slot, and he's got both. And perfect weather is expected this week. So, yeah, it's all set up for a fantastic week. Valderrama, short, tight, tree-lined, heavy rough everywhere, including around the greens, small undulating greens. Yeah, this is a really difficult course, and accuracy is essential.
And he is hosting it this week, Sergio Garcia, which for me is always a big negative.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, he revelled in it last year, but he's revelled in it in previous years, but he's come into it in form. And this year, the form is just not there. I mean, I thought he was an absolute certainty last year. And, he won me 20 bags last year. So if anyone was going to go in again, it was probably going to be me. But I can't do it. I can't go in at short prices this time. I've not seen enough in recent weeks to weigh in at short prices. His course form figures are obviously incredible. 13 top 10s from 14 appearances, 3 wins, 3 seconds. But he's been all over the show lately and a bit grumpy. So I don't think he's going to enjoy the role of tournament host this time.
Okay, Glenn, what sort of grade are we looking at here? Does the fact is that Valderrama boost it up?
Oh, no. Very lowly 4. And it's
4?
Only up there. Yeah, with the presence of Rahm and Garcia at the head of the market, so it would have been even lower, yeah. One of the lowest you'll see in the year, I should think.
4? Is that the lowest we've had since we've started doing these postcasts?
Since I've been on it, yeah.
4. Right, okay, right. Well, give us a show then, please, Glenn. Probably the top 10, 15 in the betting.
Yes, 6-1 John Rahm, 13-2 Sergio, 9-1 Matthew Fitzpatrick, 20-1 Juice Luton, 30-1 Julian Suri, 33s Mike Lorenzo Vera, on 40-1 Adrian Ategui, Andy Sullivan, Jorge Campillo, and Thomas Detry, and at 45-1 Andrea Pavan, David Lipsky, Matthias Schwab, and Ross Fisher.
Okay, each way terms?
Each way again, the 5th, the first 6 there.
Okay, and you are, well, that's industry top or joint top Garcia, so you're looking to take him on the same as Steve?
Yeah, definitely agree with everything Steve said there. And the one thing I can add to that is I've read somewhere that in a recent interview, he basically said he doesn't know where it's going to go off the tee. So do you want to take single figure prices about someone who comes out with a quote like that? Not for me, regardless of his call form.
Doesn't know where it's going to go off the tee. I very much know where he's coming from there. Right, Steve, let's throw to you then. And who's the main pick this week?
Juste Louis-Ton. I'm a big fan of Juste Louis-Ton this week. Valderrama, as discussed, an unusual test. You know, they used to play in easy courses. This is far from easy. We might even finally get the US Open that we're after. I was a bit disappointed with the US Open. It was a bit too easy at the US Open. This would be harder than the US Open. It demands sound course management, patience, precision, fortitude. It takes players years to feel comfortable at Valderrama. But Louis-Ton is he's massively course proven. He had a great record in Spain prior to teeing up at Valderrama, and then he immediately fell in love with this track. He was fifth in the 2010 Andalusia Masters, beaten by only three shots. Then he was runner-up in the 2016 Spanish Open, beaten by just one shot, and then runner-up again to Sergio Garcia in the 2017 Andalusia Masters, again beaten by just a single shot. And last year he arrived for the 2018 Andalusia Masters, having not competed for 5 months. It was his first tournament after a five-month break with a wrist injury, and he finished 11th. I mean, that was an amazing comeback, which further underlined his suitability to this course. His 11 under par total in 2017 would have been enough to win any of the previous 10 European Tour events at Valderrama. He was just really unlucky that Garcia played even better than that. Recently, Lewiton's been inconsistent, but he's been globetrotting a lot. He's been playing a lot in America. Now he's settled back in Europe. He missed the cut in Germany last week, which is why we're getting such a juicy price. But I wouldn't worry about that. The form is there. He made an eagle and eight birdies in the Pro-Am the day before the BMW International started. So he wasted a sensational round in the Pro-Am there. But the form is there. And I see his love affair with Valderrama continuing, because Glenn's right, this is not a particularly deep field. So I was really pleased with 20-1 Louis-Ton.
When I think of him, Steve, I just think of solid. He's just a solid player, isn't he?
Yeah, solid, dependable European Tour pro, six-time European Tour champion. Events like this where there's this sort of second-grade European Tour events, you've always got to have Louis-Ton on your mind. And I thought he's by far the best bet this week.
Okay, he's a 20-1 chance. Who's your main pick for this, Glenn?
My main selection is going to be Eduardo Molinari at a three-figure price. Possibly the forgotten of the Molinari brothers these days, and arguably until recent times, possibly the most talented. 2005 US amateur champion, the first European since 1911 to do that. It was a five-time Challenge Tour winner, including three successes in 2009 when he topped the rankings with an M record earnings of near 250,000. Less than a month later, he was a winner in the Dunlop Phoenix in Japan, and the following week he partnered his brother Francesco to win the World Cup at Mission Hills in China. In 2010, full playing rights on the European Tour, he posted seven top four finishes, including two wins at the Scottish Open and the Johnny Walker Championship. A series of injuries after that interrupted what looked a very promising career, and he managed only a handful of top 10 finishes in the years that followed. Almost out of the blue, in 2017, he won again in the Trophy Hassan in Morocco, but once again his form tailed off, and it's only in recent months he's again hinted at a return to form. Tied 30th at the British Masters, tied 41st at Made in Denmark, last 32 in the Belgian knockout, fourth in the low-key golf sixes with his partner Lorenzo Gagli, and tied third last week at the BMW International Open. Four times recently ranked in the top 11 in driving accuracy. He was number one in that stat in the British Masters, three times in the top five in greens in regulation, and last week, he was 11th in driving accuracy, 12th in scrambling, 9th in putts per green in regulation. Valderrama, of course, is described as the best in Europe, will pose many problems this week with its tight tree-lined fairways and heavy rough. Molinari has shown in the past the ability to grit it out and find a way to win. Dreadful conditions on the final day when he won the Scottish Open, a tight course in Morocco when scoring was at a premium, And he's also managed to find a way to win in three playoffs. All three playoffs he played in, he's won on the Challenge Tour, on the Main Tour, and that winning Dunlop Phoenix. A recent Valderrama form suggests he's coming to terms with the place. He's tied 22nd there last year, where he's 5th in driving accuracy and 8th in scrambling. Two key stats that could come in handy this year. Molinari, I think, is ready for the challenge and will relish it.
I'm sold. I'm sold on that, Glenn. I thought he played quite well last week as well, didn't he? As you say, time for third. 100-1 is out there. What is he with Star Sports? Are you ducking him?
Yeah, I was going to be slightly unexpected on the big one. 80-1, though, not massively so. Nothing silly, but yeah, I think he's that sort of a price. But he's obviously, like I say, shown that he's coming back to form. He's a player I really enjoyed watching in his early days, and I thought he's very, very good. Was destined to go to the top. He's achieved a official world golf ranking high of 18, I believe it is. So, you know, he was up there with the elite at one point.
Right, I'm sold on that. 100-1. Right then, Steve. Who is the next best?
Next best, Marcus Kinholt. Similar player to Lewiton. Neat and tidy. He's had a couple of spins at Valderrama. 42nd and 22nd. He's got a great record in Spain generally. Confidence sky high at the moment. Shed his European Tour maiden tag last month. Won the British Masters in hugely impressive fashion. He was fending off Matt Wallace and Eddie Pepperell. I think he'll go from strength to strength now. He's still only 22. He's full of potential. And last time out, what a superb first stateside major. He qualified for the US Open with fifth spot at Walton Heath in the qualifier. And then he closed with a 66 at Pebble Beach to finish 32nd. I mean, that is an incredibly good round. And it must have done wonders for his self-belief. So, yeah, I think Kinholt's going to a course that really suits him in extremely high spirits.
Okay, right. Who joins Molinari on your team, Glenn?
I was hoping you were going to go to Steve first. I see you put up Adrian Ategui in his column, and I could do a bit of cheating and let him wheel off all the stats.
Okay, right. Well, we can do the rest of Steve's team if you want. We can do that.
Yeah, Ategui's on there. Yeah. Adrian Ategui, a two-time European Tour champion, never won a stroke play event, but this is a good chance. He tied 38th. In the 2016 Spanish Open on his European Tour Valderrama debut. And he was world number 722 at the time. So a really good effort considering his status. He closed with a 69 for 12th spot at Valderrama the following year. So Ategui has shown some signs of life. He's well suited to this test. I like three Spaniards, actually. I've got three Spaniards in the staking plan. The other ones are Jorge Campillo. He was one under par with a round to go last year, a level par final round on the Monday, because it went into the Monday, would have meant a 16th place. But he withdrew. He disqualified himself because he needed to catch his flight to China for the WGC HSBC Champions. So, he's a bit of a controversial decision, but he wanted to prepare properly for his debut in that event. Campillo, excellent amateur career. Big things were expected of him. It's taken him time to make that impact as a pro, but it is happening now. He's been awesome this year. He won his maiden title in the Hassan Trophy in April. He's been contending a lot. I think Campillo could be the man. Yeah, Campillo and Ategui could lead the Spanish challenge. And then at a much bigger price, Alessandro Canizales. Who's had a lot of wrist problems in his career, but he's playing regularly now, seems fit. He was ninth in the maiden Denmark a month ago. That's excellent form. Missed cuts on the mark in Belgium and Germany since. Narrow failures. Loves playing in his homeland. Three times he has finished second in European Tour events in Spain. And Valderrama, crucially, is his practice base. He knows every inch of grass at Valderrama. His European Tour form figures at Valderrama are 21, 7, 11, 36, 16. So I think his intimate knowledge of the venue makes him a lively outsider. And then I've got one more, Aaron Rye, accurate Englishman. Won his maiden European Tour title in a similar test of precision at Hong Kong Golf Club in November. He's a three-time Challenge Tour champion. One of those wins came in Andalusia. He finished eighth at Valderrama as a rookie in 2017 in this tournament. Drives it straight, churns out greens and regulation. Closed with a 67 for 18th spot in Denmark last time out. Everything points to a big week from Rye.
Okay, good stuff. I like the sound of Canizares there. One of the locals by the sounds of it, so bit of knowledge there. Right then, Glenn, who else with Molinari then?
No, just Molinari and Ategi for me this week, just the two.
Right, okay.
They've been with a lot of players really at home, so I'll struggle to put together any sort of list. So just the two for me this week.
Okay, just those two. Right then, we will wrap up selections. Steve, US, we're going with Matsuyama, yes?
Rocket Mortgage Classic, yeah. Hideki Matsuyama, Billy Horschel, Ryan Moore, Aaron Wise and Kevin Streelman.
Okay, and at Valderrama for the Andalusia Masters, you're all over Mr. Luton.
Juice Luaton,
yeah.
Marcus Kinholt, Aaron Rye, Adrian Ottagui, Jorge Campillo and Alejandro Cavallo.
Not sure about that pronunciation, but right, okay. And Glenn, your team this week, please.
The Rocket Mortgage Classic, Billy Horschel, Kevin Kisner and Jason Duffner. And in the Valderrama Masters, Eduardo Molinari and Adrian Ategi.
Brilliant stuff. Now, I'm just reading here that Steve's joining us in the studio next week, so do look out for that. We've also got Bruce and the team back on Friday to preview all the racing over the weekend, including the Irish Derby at the Curragh. So look out and listen to that. Steve and Glenn, we thank you for your time and expertise once again, and good luck at the weekend.
Give them the horn.